Welcome to the Agile Revolution. This is Craig. We're at Yao 2015 in Sydney, and after crossing across multiple continents, trying to chase him around the world for 3 years and him avoiding trying to get on this podcast, I finally tracked him down. Welcome, Dan North.
I can run, but apparently I can't hide.
Yeah, and now he's got to go and catch a plane in 10 minutes. This is going to be a speed podcast. I've got to say, the first time I met you, you've always been sort of an inspiration to me, particularly around the BDD stuff. And I'm not sure whether you remember the first time I met you, but you walked into the speaker room at the Yao 2012, I think it was, conference, and you said hello to someone and said, "Oh, hey, Dan." And I just sat in there, and you walked over and you've gone to shake my hand. I've just gone, "Oh, And I think my words, Craig, me, Agile, Dan, came out in some sort of garbled order. So the fact you actually still talk to me and think I've got half a brain is good.
Well, so I don't remember that moment. I do have lots and lots of pleasant memories of hanging out with you and talking with you. So yeah,
absolutely,
it's all good.
I got to ask the question since we're in a short amount of time. BDD.
Yes. Right?
Can you give us a definition? What is it?
Yeah, I've been using the same definition for a lot of years. It's developing a system or developing an application by looking at its behaviour from the perspective of its stakeholders. So you've got a whole bunch of different stakeholders, and not just the obvious ones, you know, the users, the people who are administering it, the people paying for it, but then there's a whole bunch of other stakeholders like security, compliance, operations and support. Then you've got the team themselves, right? There are other developers who are going to come along and pick this thing up, they're stakeholders. So Mark McNeil, ThoughtWorks or ex-ThoughtWorks UX guy, he has this lovely phrase, people whose lives you touch. Right? So people whose lives, anyone whose life you touch by writing that software, building it, deploying it, is a stakeholder. So BDD, it says the only value in software is the behavior, the capabilities it provides to stakeholders. So that becomes all of what you build. And it allows you to kind of to not overthink some of the design stuff.
And given when then, how did that come about then? Was it just because you were looking for a way to help them describe that behavior? Is that really it?
Given when then is, there's an interesting etymology there. So this is ThoughtWorks circa 2003, I want to say. There's a guy called Ivan Moore, who's one of the very early XP guys in the UK. And I was working with him, and he had this really cool thing where like, you'd get an index card, but a story card, and you'd write the story on one side, and he'd turn it over, and he'd draw a line down the middle. And I had two columns. I do this, this happens. Right? And so, and that was his acceptance criteria. So, you know, I do this, I enter a valid password, this happens, I get in. And for an invalid password, I don't get in. I enter a blank password, and so on. Mm. And the cool thing is, you can't fit much on an index card. So if you try and get more than three or four of these things, when you run out of card, which suggests you probably want another story. So I was working with Chris Matz, business analyst in London.
Yeah, Real Options.
Real Options, Chris Matz, Feature Injection, Chris Matz, and now Business Mapping, Chris Matz, because he and I are working together again. And so I showed him this, and I said, "This is a really cool way to do acceptance criteria." And he said, "No, it's not." I said, "What do you mean?" I said, "That's great." He said, "No, it's not."
That doesn't sound like Chris at all.
No, it's not. I said, "Why not?" He said, "Well," he said, "yeah, so I do this, anything could happen, right? Because you don't have any context. I do this on a Tuesday, that could happen. I do this and the bank's closed, that could happen, right?" He said, "You're missing context. So what you've got is, you know, when I do this, then this happens." He said, "You're missing given." So Ivan Moore was the when and the then, and Chris Matz came along and added given, and suddenly you had context. So given is setting up the world in a well-known way. When is me interacting with the application as a stakeholder, and then is what I expect to happen. And it fell into place as a really nice way of structuring and articulating requirements.
Does it frustrate you when people either say, you know, BDD is given when then, or when they come up with all these really weird, wonderful explanations and get away from the core of it, which is really just people talking to each other?
Well, I want to qualify that slightly. It's people talking to each other in order to get work done, right? If you're not building an application out the back of this, you're not doing BDD. But I think the thing that frustrates me is when people think that BDD is the same as writing automated tests. I wrote an article, and I dug this up because I wanted to reference it recently. 2003, I wrote an article in Java Developers Journal, that venerable old magazine, called "Test-Driven Development is Not About Testing." And I got into loads of trouble. But, "Oh, you can't say that." And like 10, 12 years later, now I'm saying behavior-driven development is not about testing, right? And people take these frameworks like, you know, Cucumber and RSpec and whatever, and they go, right, we're going to use this to write automated tests. There are way better ways of writing automated tests, and BDD isn't about that. And in fact, I've started saying to people now, once you've got your application, once you've got your feature, your behavior, you should seriously consider deleting most of those scenarios, because the scenarios are the scaffolding that got you there. Some of those scenarios might make useful documentation. Keep them, right? But all the other ones, you don't need them. If you want to write automated tests for your code, go nuts, right? Automated testing is a really useful thing to do. It's orthogonal to BDD. Yeah, it's a different thing.
Excellent. I want to touch on what was called Accelerated Agile and now is Software Faster, which is, I guess, what you've been running around the world banging on about for the last few years, which I think I described in my talk today as just a bunch of disorganized thoughts in your head that sort of get spat out and everybody goes, that's a great idea. But I guess what you have been doing is really taking a lot of the patterns and things you've learned over your experience over the years and trying to put some sort of semblance to it. Is that really what this is all about?
So it's essentially the stuff I learned after I left ThoughtWorks. So when I left ThoughtWorks, I thought I've got the hang of this development stuff with like BDD and Agile and all that.
I'm pretty good.
I'm feeling pretty confident about this. And then I went and joined a small team in a trading firm who were, they were doing things outrageously quickly and effectively. And they were building very, very high quality software very quickly and at sustainably, and they were breaking all the Agile rules, right? And I got really upset about this. And so then I decided the thing I needed to do was stay in this team and see if there was something I could articulate about what they were doing. So that's where the pattern started. So it was post ThoughtWorks, and they ended up being a collection of patterns for people who have, they've been around Agile a bunch of time and they're thinking, and then what? So that I've topped out on this thing. I'm going as fast as I can with this. There's got to be something else. This is my attempt at the and something else. So they are less ragtag than they were. So essentially there's a whole bunch of different themes for these. There's patterns for testing, for architecture, for design, for planning and estimation, for team dynamics, for operations, for deployment, for legacy. So there's about probably 10 different themes and a handful of patterns in each of those themes. So I'm currently very slowly failing to write the lean pub book. There's a lean pub book of Software Faster. And so it's my attempt to make sense of how to sustainably deliver good quality software. And really, it's lean operations. But instead of projecting lean operations into the 90s, which is what all the current crop of Agile methods are, it's saying, well, what if we start with the constraints we have now? And what does that look like? And it turns out it looks like some of it is completely counter to current Agile wisdom. Some of it is the same sorts of things, but dialed up a bit.
If anyone gets the opportunity to sit through your workshop, it's great because it's a discussion about these things and a lot of the patterns you've seen. One last thing, because we've got to get you in a cab to send you to the airport to fly the 3/4 of the way around the world. You were here talking about business mapping,
yes,
and delivery mapping. Very briefly, what's that about?
So very briefly, that's about how to deliver things at scale, and by scale I mean people. So we've gotten okay at, I mean not great, but we've gotten okay at kind of 8 to 10 people type delivery. We can get those 8 to 10 people, cross-functional teams, all pointing in the same direction. That's going okay. What we're struggling with is getting 80 to 100 people pointing in the same direction. So you're kind of, your $100 million programs or whatever, your $50 million programs over many months or over years. And there's the glib, you shouldn't do that. Well, what if I have a 100-person-wide problem and I have a bunch of time, a limited amount of time, and I need to do that? So I spent a couple of years, the last 2 or 3 years, working with a big American bank, helping them figure this out, or working with them to figure this out. And Chris Matz, the guy I mentioned, the given of Given When Then, he spent a similar amount of time at a sort of video conferencing firm, doing the same thing. But I was working around 400-500 people, and he was working around sort of 1,500 people. So he had like hundreds of teams. I had tens of teams. And we met up last year just to kind of check out, you know, catch up with each other. And it turns out we've essentially built exactly the same model. And we got really excited about that. Mm. So business mapping, delivery mapping. So delivery mapping is a part of business mapping. There's this whole new body of work, if you like, which is us articulating that model. So we've given it names and structure, and we've both been jointly and independently talking about it to various people. And so that's the thing I'm excited about.
And there's four main parts to that, right?
So you've got your initiative mapping, which is essentially business alignment. How do I align my business initiatives with my top level KPIs, and my top level business goals? Then within that, there's going to be programs of work. And then in a program of work, you essentially have a supply side and a demand side. So demand side, what does the business want? So that's your demand mapping. And then understanding who I've got, what their skills are, what their aspirations are for skills, and that's skills mapping. And you take the skills mapping side and the demand mapping side, put it in a bag and shake it up, and figure out what's the best way for people to swarm around work. And that piece then is called delivery mapping.
Excellent. And has that been documented anywhere apart from your talks?
We've got a couple of talks online. Again, we're starting a Lean Pub book, which will probably be a lot smaller than the Software Faster book. Just to get something out there. But it's very much work in progress. But again, it's experiential. It's not hypothetical. It's like, this is what we've been doing, and now we've given it some names.
Excellent. So, and you've been talking about that at the conference, and people can check out the slides. We'll put some links in the show notes and stuff. We're going to get you in a cab, but it's been great to just sort of target you in the corner and talk to you, Dan. And thank you for all things you bring to the community, because all sorts of things that I'm constantly learning from you, and it's been great hanging out with you again.
Well, it's been an absolute pleasure, and to finally sit down and have an interview with you. I've thoroughly enjoyed it.
We'll try and get a longer one in where we can dig into some of these a bit more detail at some later.
Wonderful.
Excellent. Thanks, Dan.
Thanks, Craig.